So the Army needs big solutions if it wants to generate as much energy as it consumes by 2020. It's using the Fort Carson Army Base in Colorado Springs as a testing ground for the Net Zero Energy Initiative. The General Services Administration identifies four ideas that could help Fort Carson reach big energy breakthroughs, and it's partnering with the Army and Energy Department to measure the progress so far at Fort Carson. Ken Sandler is the Sustainability and Green Building Advisor at the Office of Federal High Performance Green Buildings at GSA. Ken, thank you very much for coming on to talk about this afternoon. You write in this report that Fort Carson will need to generate as much energy as it consumes in order to hit its net zero energy goals by 2020. And we've talked to folks from the Army, including Secretary Catherine Hammack, about the net zero initiative. What has Fort Carson done so far to hit the net zero goal, Ken? Thanks for being on the program today.
My pleasure. There are basically two parts to meeting net zero. The first is dramatically shrinking your energy use, and the second is expanding your renewable energy generation. So to cut its energy use, Fort Carson has been building quite a few green buildings and employing a lot of different energy efficiency techniques. For example, they've been replacing old lighting with more efficient technologies like LEDs and expanding their energy management control system. So they've reduced their energy use about 17% since 2003. At the same time, they've expanded their renewable power generation. They've installed over 3 megawatts of solar electric panels. They've installed solar hot water heaters, ground source heat pumps. So they're generating about 3.5% of their energy from renewables right now, and that is growing.
How do you measure the return on investment on issues like that too? I mean, we're obviously in a tighter budget time, and so not only do agencies want to save energy, they want to try to avoid as much upfront cost as they can. Some of the things that you mentioned, like LED lights and so on, it's pretty easy to measure that. Is it more difficult to measure the ROI on some of these other things?
Well, that's why we did the research. We were looking at the life cycle cost and benefit of different technologies and approaches. And the thing about government buildings, you're going to be in them for a long time. We looked at 20, 30 years, but some government buildings were still in after 100 years. So if you really look at the payback over that period, actually, there are a lot of benefits when you get to the point where you're getting free energy that you're not paying for at all.
I mentioned there are four areas of opportunity that you report on here. Can you review each one of those for me and give me a little thumbnail on them?
Sure. So three of them were about improving building systems. One was about getting occupants and buildings to work together well. In terms of building systems, the first one was getting lighting and daylighting right. Most buildings, commercial buildings, use about 30% to 40% of their energy on lighting. And we found that net zero energy buildings should really bring that down to about 10%. Fort Carson's buildings are doing better than average. They still have room for improvement. So we identified a program where they would use natural daylight as their basic lighting and then supplement that where appropriate with pass lighting, for example. The second systems approach, looking at renovating existing buildings to be much more energy efficient, because most buildings that we have are going to be with us for a long time, and so we need to figure out how to get those ones to be more efficient. So we developed a whole process looking at a series of online free tools that building managers can identify technologies and approaches and combine them, bundle them together to find energy efficient ways, to ways to really cut their energy dramatically. The third systems approach we looked at was the building envelopes. Building envelopes are basically walls, roofs, windows, and their insulation, and seeing which combinations of them save the most money with different building types. And the interesting thing, it really depends a lot. There's no one size fits all. So, for example, the dining hall, which generates a lot of internal heat, we found there was a point at which you added more insulation, and it actually meant the building would have to pay more money for cooling because there's so much heating being trapped in the building. The third thing that we looked at is the occupants and occupant behavior, and how can building managers and leadership work with occupants to work with their buildings on improving energy performance. So we recommended a program we call Rules, Roles, and Tools, looking at all the different sides of an organization, not just individual behavior, but how the organization itself reinforces the messages of saving energy in the appropriate ways for that building.
Ken Sandler of the General Services Administration, my guest. He and his team have some data from Fort Carson on their net zero effort, and you can find that later at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. I want to go back to the first one of those four, Ken, the lighting and daylighting balance that you tried to strike there. Were you able to measure in any way the difference in the way that employees inside the building found either individually or collectively, productivity-wise, any impact that the difference in lighting might have had on the way they go about doing their work every day?
Productivity is a really tough thing to measure. We do find people more satisfied in surveys with natural lighting and, of course, with views as well. But it is something that people have tried to measure, and it's always challenging to really put a number on that.
And on the building envelopes piece, it strikes me that what you found, the themes may be consistent across the entire portfolio of federal buildings, but the way you go about achieving maximization of the building envelopes would change based on the weather in a particular location, the environment in which that location sits, and other factors like that. Am I on the right track there?
Yeah, so we were basically looking at whether it's cost-effective to go for sort of the maximum, the thickest insulation in every case. And what we found is no. In some cases, that made sense. In some cases, it did not. So it's really a matter of knowing your building and adapting solutions to it.
What are the next steps now that you have this information? How will this impact how you and the Army work together moving forward on Fort Carson and on other installations like this?
Well, our mandate is government-wide, so we are getting this information out to the whole government, as we do with all of our research. We're continuing our research with other buildings as well. So it's really a matter of we have a whole set of best practices, tools, guidance, et cetera, that we provide to the government so the whole portfolio can be improved energy-wise, water-wise, indoor air quality on all those issues.
Some of the changes, it appears, would be behavioral things that the you talked about, the looking at the relationship between the occupants and the facilities. And I wonder if there are things that recommendations that either the Army came up with itself or that you came up with in looking at this that the employees would be able to do right away that could make a difference in the how quickly they're able to get to net zero.
Well, it really does depend on the building, on the organization. One of the most interesting things that we found is the role of leadership in sending a message. So we looked at computer shutdowns, getting people to shut down their computers at the end of the day, and they were scared to do so because they had received mixed messages about whether they're supposed to leave them on to receive updates and so on.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that myself.
But when we were tracking their computer shutdowns every day, and when they got a message from leadership, all of a sudden the computer shutdowns went way up. So it's really important to send the message from people who are respected and trusted and use those sources to get the message out.